Thank you. We again continue our studies on the life of faith, using this man Abram as our example. And being the father of those who believe, it is well for us to notice that God puts this man Abram through the various tests of faith, I am sure, for our benefit. You remember Paul writing to the Romans said, these things were written for our admonition, unto whom the end of the age has come. We were dealing in our last lesson with the sufficiency of faith in Genesis chapter 12. And we found that Abram failed God. His faith was fervent enough to leave Ur of the Chaldees with all its idolatry and corruption and come into the land of Canaan. And even here he is surrounded by idolatry, but he's had a revelation from God. The God of glory had appeared unto him. And when he left Ur of the Chaldees, God had said, I'm going to show you a land. When he enters the land, God says, I'm going to give it to your seed, that is, to your children. Now the question is raised, can God keep him in the land? There was a great famine. And Abram packed up his goods and went down to Egypt. And failing God, he failed man. And you know the result of it was that Pharaoh's house suffered, Sarah suffered, and Abram was rebuked by the world. To me, it's a bad thing when we Christians live a life of dishonor to God and are rebuked by the world, where the world can tell us, and by the way, the world can tell us what they expect of Christians. Will you notice, please, again, there were no tents, there were no altars in Egypt. You remember that in chapter 12, Abram no longer lived in a house. He lived in tents. And as Hebrews 11 said, he lived with Isaac and Jacob in tents, signifying, here they have no abiding city, they seek one to come. They were pilgrims and strangers. The tent speaks, of course, of that pilgrim character which should characterize God's people. He built an altar which speaks of worship. When he's out of fellowship with God, there is no mention made of a tent or an altar. And please notice that time spent in Egypt was wasted time. I want to keep emphasizing this through these studies. Time spent out of the will of God is wasted time. There was no altar, no worship, no tent, no testimony, nor was there any revelation of God in Egypt. And it is not until he comes back to the land, in chapter 13, 1-4, that you find the restoration of Abram into fellowship with God. And he builds his altar and pitched his tent, and he's back where he was, where he started. In other words, the time spent in Egypt was wasted time. The time you and I spend in occupation with the world. I'm not talking about your job or your business. I'm talking about the fact that when you and I walk out of fellowship with God, as a rule, we're walking in fellowship with the world, which is a religious world in vital opposition to God. And we do not grow. Truth is not revealed to us till we're back in fellowship with him. Which leads me, of course, to the next test. And this test is to the humility of faith in chapter 13. Allow me to read some of the verses of that chapter. And Lot also, who went out with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we be brethren. Notice this now, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right hand. If you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the men of Sodom were wicked sinners against the Lord exceedingly. Now, I've taken the time to read that, because I want you to get the text in your mind. I've been reading Genesis chapter 13. And here we have what I call the humility of faith. And it has to do with the brethren. Here is fighting in the family. Now, you see the circumstances in verses 1 and 2, and then verses 5 to 6. Both Abram and Lot came out of Egypt very rich. And by the way, this is the first mention of wealth in the Scripture, and it brought trouble. As I was saying in the last lesson, Abram got two things out of Egypt, which brought him great sorrow: wealth and Hagar. And as I said a moment ago, they both made trouble for Abram. Grace reunited Abram and Lot, and now riches divided them. You know, it's an amazing thing how money can come even between God's people. When I think of Christians who have been grieved and have been hurt, and there's a barrier has come between believers, and sometimes even they become bitter, the one with the other. It's a sad thing. Oh, for the humility of faith. You know, I was just thinking about Moses. Do you remember Moses in the book of Numbers chapter 12? When Miriam, his sister, and Aaron, his brother, kind of joined forces against Moses. And if you read that passage, you'll notice God said, Moses is the one I have seen in the earth. He's the meekest of men. And his meekness was manifested in the home. Now remember that Moses was the leader. He was the deliverer. But they got jealous of Moses, his own brother and sister, and the result was that they had trouble, and Moses was called the meekest of men. He allowed God to take care of the situation. The trouble is, we don't let God take care of the situation. We want to justify ourselves, and we're not going to be, as one fellow said, I'm not going to be made a doormat by anybody. No, that's true. Wouldn't hurt you, though, would it? I say it wouldn't hurt you to be a doormat for the glory of God. And how many churches have been split, and how many believers have had broken fellowship the one with the other because of the lack of the humility of faith. Now, here we have the test in verses 6 and 7. The land was not able to bear them. That is, they had so many flocks and herds, they were so rich, that something had to happen. Well, the result was, their herdsmen quarreled. And you know, when your servants are quarreling, it'll soon involve you. So it was that when these herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram began to quarrel about pasture and water rights and what have you, it soon involved Abram and Lot, and there was strife in the midst of the enemies of God. And these neighbors, these Perizzites, you remember in verse 7, and it's very significant, stated, the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. They were surrounded by the enemies of God. What did they think when these who claimed to follow the living God were fighting among themselves? What does the world think when it sees the church, the people of the church, fighting each other? Oh, for the humility of faith. You see, well, no one's going to put it over me. No, I'm sure of that. And yet notice Abram's generosity. You know, Romans 12:18 says, as far as possible, live peaceably with all men. And Abram had learned a lesson in Egypt to trust God. He must trust God. And here you have Abram being the first peacemaker. And mark his generosity and his humility. It was a desire for the glory of God. Listen to what it says. Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdmen and your herdmen. Why? We be brethren. We be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? You take your choice. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. But one thing, we're not going to fight." He surrendered all his rights for the glory of God. My, what a spirit. You know, friend, I've oftentimes thought of this. When you and I accepted the Savior, and especially when we yielded our lives to the Lord, we gave up all rights. What rights do you have? Can't we trust God to work it out? I know, we've all gone through it, haven't we? And we wish the Lord would hurry up and do something about working the thing out. It's so easy, it's so natural for us to vindicate ourselves, to justify the thing we're doing and the thing we're saying, never beginning to realize what the ultimate fruit will be. Now, you know, Abram could have said to Lot, "Look, Lot, see here, God didn't promise you this land. He's promised this land to me and to my seed. Now you get out." Or he could have said, "Lot, you're my nephew. All the wealth you have, you receive because of your association with me. And I don't want any trouble, so I would suggest you get out. Now I'm going to choose what I want to because I'm the elder and God's given this to me. Now you get out. I'm not going to have any trouble around here. We're a disgrace to God because we're living among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, these enemies of God." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Lot, let's not fight. We be brethren." I kind of like that. He didn't say, "I'm your uncle and you're my nephew and you ought to respect me." No, he just said, "We be brethren." Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we Christians were to live like that? To live in that place for the glory of God, willing to be quiet and let the other fellow have it if he wants it. So what? You can trust God, can't you? Let him work it out. And believe me, I'll tell you this, my friend, God will surely vindicate in his own time those men and women who will trust God and allow God to vindicate them. And he'll always do it. Don't you for one moment think that God's going to be in your debt. Don't you think for one moment that God's ever going to leave you or forsake you. And don't you forget that the Lord knows the whole picture. He knows every detail. He not only knows you and the other brother, but he knows all about it. He knows your hearts, and he's going to work something out for his glory and for your good. Now you notice, let me just say a word about Lot here. Lot took advantage of Abram's generosity. His heart had been affected by Egypt. You'll notice that in verse 10. He lifted up his eyes and beheld the well-watered plain of Jordan. He chose by the sight of the eye. He was greedy. Didn't care what happened to Abram and his flocks. He chose the well-watered plain of Jordan. Oh, the green pasture down there. How his flocks would fatten up on that. He'd become a rich man. He walked by sight. He was greedy and, by the way, selfish. And then he lost everything. When you come to chapter 19, what's he got left? Nothing. Nothing. In fact, it's not long before he's in Sodom, in Gomorrah. He's with the cities of the plain, especially in Sodom. He moves from the green pastures, and I have an idea, he sold all his wealth and he went right into the city and became more or less a leader in the city. Someone said he became mayor of Sodom, I don't know, but he became a leader. then lost everything. Now notice, Abram let God choose for him. And can I quote from Romans chapter 4? He became the heir of the world through faith. Are you willing to let God choose for you? Are you willing to let God run your life and choose the very thing he wants you to do, or do you want your own way? My, how often all of us have had to face a situation. Do I want God's will? Do I want my own will? Am I looking out for the glory of God, or am I looking out for myself? Now Lot, he was looking out for self, and eventually lost everything. Abram, let God do the choosing. See what he got. Notice verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look for the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that thou seest, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. God chose for Abram and said, everything you see, I'm going to give it to you. Now notice something else, please. He said in verse 16, I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. In verse 15, I'm going to give it to your seed forever. This is an everlasting covenant with Abram. My, what God chose for him. After Lot was gone, I said in our last lesson, a walk with God always calls for separation. The first step in a walk with God is separation. In chapter 12, Abram left Ur of the Chaldees. He left his kindred, his father's house, his country, everything, because God spoke and he obeyed God. Now Lot is gone, and God has Abram for himself. And God says, Abram, because you're trusting me, I want you to walk through the land. Everything is yours and to your seed forever. And then he said, I'll give you something else. I'll make your seed like the dust of the earth for multitude. Now up to this time, he had no children. But mind the promise. The promise of an earthly seed forever. Now, how did it affect Abram? So I read verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. Why did he do that? Because of the promise of God. You remember in chapter 12, I'm going to show you a land. And when he came into Canaan, God says, I'm going to give it to your seed, to your children. Now God says, I'm going to give it to your children and to you forever. I'm going to give it to you. And Abram removed his tent. And he went on down and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. I need to mark this place because this is the place where Abram lived and dwelt most of his life, in Mamre, in Hebron. Now Mamre, the word Mamre means fatness. The word Hebron speaks of communion. And he lived on the fatness of communion with God. I tell you, when a person takes the word of God and stands upon the word of God and upon the promises of God, when I think of the wealth that's for God's people, the revelation of his purpose and plan to you and me, why don't we pitch our tent in Mamre in Hebron? Go down and live in the place of intimate fellowship with God. This is the place where God reveals himself to Abram. It is here the great promises are given to Abram. This is where always God finds Abram, Mamre in Hebron, the place of the intimacy of fellowship, the fatness of communion with God. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I lived day by day on the fatness of communion with God? This is the reward that God gave to Abram because of the humility of faith. He was willing to let God do the choosing and see what God chose. He gave him an everlasting possession. And he said that his children would be like the sand by the seashore for multitude. No wonder, no wonder he pitched his tent in Hebron, in the place of intimate fellowship with God. Is that where you're living today? That's where God wants you to live. Now the Lord bless you for his name's sake.